Hello and welcome to Parkinson's Life, the award-winning podcast offering a voice to the global Parkinson's community. Each episode, we bring together people impacted by the condition for an honest conversation to share their stories, perspectives, and ideas on how to live well with Parkinson's. In this episode, we focus on off periods, when Parkinson's medication is not as effective as it should be and symptoms become more difficult to manage. US-based Bill Buckley shares how his off periods have evolved since he was diagnosed with the condition in 2012. And how they play a role in his daily life. Joining him is Dr. Valentina Letta, a neurologist based in Italy who highlights the importance of increasing awareness around this topic. Together, our guests explore what people should know about the different types of off periods, how to identify them, and how they can impact people in the Parkinson's community. This podcast is sponsored by Bial, a pharmaceutical company committed to discovering, developing, and commercializing medicines with the aim of improving people's lives worldwide.
I'm Valentina Letta. I'm a neurologist and a researcher at Vesta Neurological Institute in Milan. And essentially, my work activities is based on outpatients and inpatient activities in the field of movement disorders, particularly working with people with Parkinson's.
My name is Bill Buckley. I live in Chicago in the United States. I have a lovely wife, Heidi, of 25 years and two children, one who is a sophomore in college and the other who will be graduating high school, hopefully, this year. I was diagnosed with early onset Parkinson's in 2012, but had 7 years of misdiagnosis before that where I was actively seeking an answer to some physical problems that I have that ultimately turned out to be as a result of Parkinson's. And over time have become more of a Parkinson's advocate, I would say, and just gotten more and more involved in the community.
It is very important to talk about off periods because they are very common among people with Parkinson's and they can be very troublesome. When we talk about off periods, we refer to episodes characterized by a reemergence of the Parkinson's symptoms, so motor and non-motor symptoms, so reemergence of tremor, if any, or slowness, rigidity, but also potentially non-motor symptoms such as anxiety and pain, for instance. And these symptoms can be quite troublesome for the person with Parkinson's, and they tend to occur up to 50% of people with Parkinson's in the first 5 years of their condition. So it is important to identify them and to manage them. And I'm wondering, Bill, if you have ever experienced any of them and what is your personal experience in relation to off periods?
When I first started seeing a neurologist, I would get asked, you know, do I have off periods? You know, this is after I started my medication regime. And I didn't really know what that meant. For the first few years, I could understand the concept, but I didn't really experience it. Then after about 4 or 5 years of being on medication, I started to see what an off period was. So I did get, you know, this kind of increasing effect of off periods, and that continues to this day. And, you know, some of the things that I deal with that is I look at it like almost like dehydration, right? Once you know you're dehydrated, it's too late. You've got to kind of spend some time to get back together again. It's the same with off periods in Parkinson's for me, is when I experience it, you can't immediately correct it. And that can be very troublesome. You know, I still drive a car. You know, there's these things that I do on a daily basis that require quite a bit of, you know, not only cognitive kind of capabilities, but mechanical and motor capabilities. And to your point, when I do experience an off period, I definitely see it on both sides of that equation. I experience fine motor control problems. My family calls it like the on-off in the car. I I can accelerate and then I stop. And, you know, that's kind of how it ends up being. But then I definitely have some cognitive components too. I get tired. And so, yeah, off periods can be very troubling, and they can be onset, at least in my experience, from different things. I exercise a lot and I seem to metabolize through my medication more, and I'll run into an off period quickly from exercise. Diet. You know, the general rule of thumb is 45 minutes to an hour before or after a meal, so there's no protein assimilation conflict, but I still seem to have those even beyond those times. So, you know, it's not only the impact that the off periods have on my life, which are significant, but it's the unpredictability of those occurring that I still encounter, even with all this experience that I have.
You have highlighted a lot of different points, which I think are very relevant to the conversation. First of all, these off periods, they tend to occur when a person with Parkinson is on Parkinson's medication. And I'm sure that you have experienced at the beginning of your journey in this condition that at the very beginning, the dopaminergic medication, the tablets of levodopa, they were working fine. And then over time, the duration of the effect start to shorten. And this is when the first off episodes might occur. This is, in fact, what we call the wearing off phenomenon, which is one of the different types of episodes that people with Parkinson's might experience. Which is essentially this feeling that the effect of the medication is wearing off and you need to start considering taking another tablet. So a period characterized by the reoccurrence of the Parkinsonian symptoms that were otherwise well controlled a few minutes before. Another type of episodes that you were referring to is what we called delayed time to on, which is probably what you were experiencing when you were eating protein in combination with the intake of tablets. So we know that there might be an interaction, a competition of transport of levodopa and protein at the level of different barriers, at the level of the intestine, but mainly at the level of the brain. And this is one of the things that might lead to what we call delayed time to on, so a prolonged time for the medication to kick in, to start working. So essentially, you were describing very well what are the mechanisms underpinning the symptoms that you have been experiencing. You also talked about unpredictability. So this is something that tends to occur later on. And I'm wondering whether this is something that you have also experienced. So while at the beginning the off episodes are predictable, so there is a temporal relationship with the tablets intake, with the diet, with the meal time, let's say, and these are very easy to manage, then things change over time and unpredictable off periods might occur, which are quite difficult to control and to manage. So is this what you have experienced in your journey, Bill?
Yeah, absolutely right. You know, the best example I can think of right now is I run a lot, you know, to try and slow the progression of the disease. And, you know, I'll be in a race. You know, I do a lot of marathons and things, and I'll be in a race and you know, I'll do my very best to plan my medication regime around the timing of the race and the history that I've experienced in during the race as far as these off periods, you know, and try and basically eliminate them. But I'm really, over time, have been having increasing difficulty in doing that. I take a little bit more medication. Of course, I've talked to my doctor about that, making sure that that's safe. That's very important. But, you know, I could be running about an hour into a race and suddenly I'll start to have severe dystonia in my right foot. And as we know, and we just talked about, that could be 45 minutes of experiencing that before the medication kind of kicks back in again and then I can run more normally. So I do experience this unpredictability quite often. That's just one example, but it can be quite difficult to deal with depending on the circumstance that I'm in when it manifests itself.
It's probably this, the unpredictability nature of these periods that makes them so difficult to manage and to live with. And have you ever experienced episodes such as what we called no on, or those failures? So taking the tablet and adding essentially a failure of the effect, of the beneficial effect, is something that have you ever experienced?
I'm only laughing because I had that problem this morning. So I went to run some sprints on our local football field. This is American football, you know, with the goalposts and all that. I never felt like they kicked in at all. You know, it takes me about a half hour to get to where I was going. I took them about a half hour before I left, so it's usually about an hour. I had a lot of trouble running. I came back and showered, cleaned up, and still, I never really felt a significant change in my symptoms all morning. So yeah, it happens. And again, it's unpredictable. I was like, you know, just really surprised.
Essentially, we know that the tablet of levodopa has a long journey ahead before reaching the intestine where it has to be absorbed. So there's the mouth, the esophagus, the stomach, and the intestine. Sometimes problems at the level of the gastrointestinal tract might have a role in delaying the transport and the absorption of the tablet of levodopa. And this can play a role in the development of these types of motor and no motor fluctuations, this delayed time to on, and even the dose failure. This is something that have been focused in my research, guided by Professor Chowdhury over the last year. So we know that gastrointestinal dysfunction is a prevalent and troublesome aspect in people with Parkinson's and can lead to symptoms that can be troublesome, such as feeling of difficulty in digesting or bloating, abdominal pain. And on top of that, there is the potential impact on the transport and absorption of the Parkinson medication. So I'm wondering whether this is something that you have also experienced, Bill, and if you pay attention to this aspect as well.
Yeah, I do. I actually fast every day. So I try and have an early dinner, and then I don't eat breakfast. So, you know, historically, that has had a number of different benefits for me, in that I do see better efficacy of the medications in the morning, typically just more consistent. I don't know if that's because of, as you suggest, I don't have much interference gastrointestinally or not, but regardless, I've seen the benefit. And then I have little brain fog in the afternoons sometimes, you know, talking about the cognitive components of this off period. And the fasting seemed to help with that a little bit. So, yeah, I did, I guess to answer your question just very succinctly, yeah, I have seen that this gastrointestinal component does seem to have an impact, although I don't fully understand it.
As well as constipation, I mean, it's so common, sometimes can precede the onset of the typical motor symptoms and signs of Parkinson's. And it might mechanically interfere with the absorption of Parkinsonian medication, dopaminergic medication at the level of the intestine.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting the conversations you get into when you have Parkinson's with your Parkinson's friends. Never in a million years did I think I'd be talking about constipation with some of my good friends, but this is what we end up talking about. And yeah, I have a real problem with that, you know, real problem. And I think it's one of those that's probably even more prevalent than people realize, because there is still, you know, it's not my favorite topic in the world, but you end up talking about it. And yeah, for sure, I've had problems with that.
You're listening to the Parkinson's Life podcast with Bill and Valentina, funded by BL. Be sure to subscribe on your podcast platform to hear more from the series.
I'm curious with your experience with your patients, if there's any way that someone like myself can get a better visibility into when these off periods are going to happen, because they're so profoundly disruptive to my life, and just having the ability to recognize these ahead of time would be huge.
This is something that should not be a real problem at the very beginning of the condition. But we do know now that over time, this motor and non-motor complication, they tend to occur. There are a variety of studies that have investigated how common, how frequent these off periods are in people with Parkinson's, and the figures are different on the basis of the different methodologies or different studies. But essentially, we know now that up to 50% of people with Parkinson's might develop these fluctuations of the motor and motor symptoms during the first 5 years while they are treated with dopaminergic medication. So it's important to be aware of the problem. So it's something that I start to talk about, not at the very beginning of the, at the moment of the diagnosis, but over time when I start to get to know also the person in front of me. And I start with simple questions. So how long does it take for the medication to kick in the morning? Or how long is the effect of each tablet of levodopa? And if the answer is, I don't know, the medication takes 30 minutes to start working, then it's fine. We don't have any problem of delayed on. If there are no fluctuations of the motor symptoms during the day and the duration is 4 to 6 hours, then there is no problem. But when I start to get as answers, well, it takes very long for the medication to start to work, up to 1 hour. Or when the person with Parkinson tells me, I start feeling that the medication, the effect is wearing off, that the tremor is there before taking the next tablet, that I feel anxious the 30 minutes before the time of the next tablet, then these are all signals. They highlight the possible presence of motor and non-motor fluctuations. So I think that this is the time to have the conversation. This is my personal approach because these are questions that I routinely ask in my clinics. And the answer to this question triggers the conversation and the description of which could be the symptoms, the signs to recognize, and that should lead you to think about possible off periods and to talk about them during the consultation. I think that this is a conversation that we should start having with time when the first problems start to occur. If there is a clinician that is checking on you and is asking the right questions. And I'm wondering whether you have identified in your personal experiences some signs and symptoms that can help you in identifying your own off periods, because we know that every person is different and my off period can be different from yours. So what is your personal experience in relation to this? And also, if you can tell us more about your experience in identifying and discussing these problems with your consultant, with your Parkinson's nurse.
Oh, sure. The one thing I've noticed is that it's very difficult for me to determine in advance when these off periods are occurring. And the one thing that makes it even more complicated is it'll depend on the activity I'm in when the onset of that occurs. If I'm in more of a physical activity and things like that, I don't think I pick up on any early signs of anything happening until it hits a threshold where it's noticeable, and then it's already pretty significant and pretty severe. So I feel like there's a delayed response. So if I'm out, I don't know, you know, playing golf, and then it's almost like just boom, I suddenly have a problem, right? I don't have the ability to detect it. If I'm at home working on the computer, I think the subtle signs tend to give me an earlier indication. I use my left hand to use my mouse now. That was just a general change with Parkinson's. But I'll notice that my fine motor skills are getting a little bit worse. I can kind of feel it coming on because I'm more sensitized, I think, to the nuance of my own kind of physical abilities at the time. So yes, I definitely can get a window into this happening, but I think it's highly predicated upon whatever activity I'm in at the time that it's occurring as to whether I can catch it early or not. And then the second, the second question or part of your question was, how does my conversation go with my clinician? And yeah, we talk about off periods every visit, and you know, it's always difficult because at least I don't get to spend a tremendous amount of time with my clinician. And to understand that, the question typically is, what percentage of your day or how many hours a day do you experience off periods? And that's really hard to communicate because some days I don't have it at all, and other days it may happen two or three times. So you give an average of, you know, let's say I have an hour and a half a day of off periods. Well, yesterday I had like 3 hours and it was a total nightmare. So to try and fill in the context a little bit more, I think that helps give a richer understanding for my clinician in my conversation with them to then have them be able to better help me. And that's what I've found.
Do you think that the use of wearable sensors can help addressing these challenges in describing off periods, how many off periods you have in your day, how long do they last? Do you think that the use of these devices, that some of them are already used in clinical practice, watch or other software devices, can help?
Well, I'm a bit of a geek. I'm an engineer by trade, and I love the idea of technology. Obviously, a lot of what we do in Parkinson's as far as communication with our symptoms is very subjective. So I think any technology that can take that subjectivity and put a measurable component to it is going to be really potentially very helpful. So yes, I do think that technology can help. And I'm excited for these types of tools to become more readily in use and available, because I do believe it's going to be very helpful.
And I completely agree with you, because you have mentioned some difficulties in relation to identification of the severity, the frequency of the problem. You need to remember what has happened, and every day is different in terms of what you do, what you eat. So there is a great variability in what can be your experience on a daily basis. And also, when you are with the consultant, with the clinician, you are there only for 30 minutes, if in the best case scenario. And really, also for the clinician, for us, it's difficult to get a picture of what can be your daily life, your week, because we only see you for these 30 minutes. And of course, this does not reflect what is the reality in terms of your symptoms, which might fluctuate, and we know this. So I really think that the use of these technologies might help both the clinician and the person with Parkinson's in identify them and manage them.
Do you have any suggestions for someone like myself to, I don't want to call it a diary, but have some way of quote-unquote recording these so that we can communicate them more effectively to our care teams and our clinicians?
So usually a possible approach to identify them would be to periodically use a diary. I understand that it can be time-consuming and a tough job to do, but it's something that you might want to do for a period of time, I don't know, 1 week before seeing your clinician. You might write down what does happen during your daytime. So how many off periods have you experienced? And you write them on the diary, or usually they come together with dyskinesia, these involuntary movements, which are usually in the on periods, so when the motor control is good. So a home diary could be very useful. We have talked about wearing off, delayed on, unpredictable offs. How do they impact your daily life? And is this something that you usually share with the people surrounding you? Or what is your approach with your family members, friends, colleagues at work when you experience such a period?
boy, I you know, it's something I do have a lot of experience with. And, you know, the one thing I would say that I can make a general comment about is that there's no general comment. It's just different all the time. So starting with the unpredictability of it, that's a real problem. And I'll try and relate this to some lifestyle things and how it's affected me. We went to my daughter's college for a parents' weekend. And we were splitting up the driving, and I had an off period, and I didn't feel that it was safe for me to be driving. And that was not expected. So my wife had to carry the burden of driving quite a bit more than she would normally do, which, you know, is unfortunate, but, you know, you have to roll with that. So in those cases, you asked how I would share that with people around me. Obviously, I share that immediately, and, you know, anytime safety is a concern, that's very important. However, other times, you know, I'll be out, say, on a Friday night, we'll go out with some friends to dinner, and I'll have an off period, and I'm having trouble, you know, using a fork and knife and everything else. Just being totally genuine and honest here, a lot of times I'll try and hide that. And I don't even, it's not an overt thing. I'm not thinking I want to hide this. It's just how I feel. Like, I want to minimize it. I don't want people noticing it. And so then, you know, it may be like, how bad do I want that little tomato on the plate? You know, am I going to really go for it and cut that thing in half, or am I just going to let it go, you know, and make decisions based on, you know, how I want to be perceived in the moment, which I don't want to say I'm growing more and more comfortable with my own symptomatic manifestations in public, but that is the case. And I am sharing more with our friends and everything else, which is helpful. So yeah, I think, you know, it affects me in different ways. And I talked a little bit, one last one is just, I exercise every day. You know, it's really important to me. I do feel that it slowed the progression of the disease significantly for me. And I've experienced that because I've had some pure points in time where I couldn't exercise due to injury, and I've seen my symptoms get worse. But you know, it's hard to get up and go running in the morning if I'm not sure if my medication's going to kick in right away or not. So it's just never consistent. And I'm constantly, we call it rolling with the punches. You know, whatever happens, happens. I try and learn from it. And I just know that it's going to be unpredictable and every day is going to be different, and manage my expectations and laugh it off when I can't do things.
This is what we usually see. So at the beginning, these off episodes are predictable and easy to manage. And then over time, they become unpredictable. Is this something that you have also experienced, this type of progression?
Yeah, for sure. You know, I think in the early phases of these off periods happening, it was duration based almost solely, meaning that if I'm taking carbidopa, levodopa 3 times a day and I'm late in taking that, I will start to see the symptoms come on. And it was very time-based and very mild. It would just slowly start to creep in. And now it's just like, whack. You know, it's like, whoa. I'm like, a minute ago, I was, you know, I don't know what, dancing up a storm. And now I'm struggling to walk straight. You know, that's a bit of an exaggeration. But, you know, it just, certainly the magnitude and the impact has gotten more severe over time, and the predictability has become less over time. In your practice, you obviously see this in various manifestations with your patients. How important is it to raise awareness for this? And in doing that, how can that be helpful to people like myself?
It is crucially important because, as you said, Bill, these off periods can have an important impact on the quality of life of person with Parkinson's and also their carers sometimes. So it's important because they can be debilitating. These off periods are frequently seen in clinical practice. So for these reasons, it's crucially important to raise awareness among people with Parkinson's, among clinicians, among people in general, carers, because if we are able to identify them, then we are also able to manage them, and as such, to potentially improve the quality of life of the person who is experiencing these off periods. So these, I think, are the reason why we should raise awareness and talk about off periods in Parkinson's disease. But podcasts like these ones and other educational events are really useful for people with Parkinson's and people surrounding them to increase awareness. Thank you very much, Bill, for sharing your experience with me, with us. It has been a great honor and pleasure.
Well, thank you, Dr. Leita. I enjoyed the conversation and definitely learned a lot in the process. So appreciate your time and thank you.
Parkinson's Life magazine is produced by Speak Media on behalf of Parkinson's Europe, the leading voice for Parkinson's in Europe. For the latest research and information on Parkinson's, visit www.parkinsonseurope.org. This episode was funded by pharmaceutical company Bial. The content of this episode was up to date and accurate at the time of recording in October 2023. The episode represents the individual views and experiences of the podcast attendees. Thanks for listening to the Parkinson's Life podcast. If you like what you've heard, please rate and review. It helps make sure others can find us. If you'd like to share your story with Parkinson's Life magazine, get in touch through Facebook, Twitter, or by emailing editor@parkinsonslife.eu. Keep a lookout for our next episode, and until then, take care.